Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. We welcome you to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez here, Gary D'Amato there. Gary's done with the grill here on the Labor Day Sunday. I'm a couple hours away from having to fake my way through another brat fry. Gary, happy Labor Day weekend, my friend.
Yeah, same to you, Rob. And you get to play a round of golf today, right?
I do. My son has the day off, so we're going to go out and that's a good point. It's 100. It's going to be we were under 100 yesterday for the first time in months here, but the humidity from our one monsoon rain that we got the other day, we're going up to 99 today. So it's fairly temperate. And compared to what I left last week in the Palm Springs area with 120 degree temperatures beating down and a sunshine beating down on grass that, you know, was full of all that hurricane, moisture. I tell you what, our Wisconsin.Golf shirts have never seen so much sweat.
Yeah, that sounds like it was brutal. And we'll talk about, you know, the women who were there trying to make it to the LP or, you know, trying to get through the first stage. But, it sounds like that was some tough weather. We're actually in the 90s the next 3 days here. And I was looking at the news today and the weather, and they said last year we had one day in September in the 90s. But other than that, you have to go back to 2018 to have a day in September, in the 90s. We're going to have four in a row here, it looks like. So it's hot everywhere, Rob.
It is. And it was funny because, I think it was, it's been a long week, but I believe it was early this week, or late the previous week when Milwaukee called off school for the day because of the heat. And then, I know that the Wanakee Girls Golf Invitational got moved to September because they didn't want the kids out there. A number of, tournaments, because they could got moved early in the day, this last week. But, you know, Friday was September 1st and, that is now the start of school. So almost every tournament now will be played, either in the early afternoon with minimal, loss of school time or in the after school hours, a lot of these nine hole, mini meets and matches involving conference schools. So, it really is crazy how this weather has cycled here. A hurricane on the West Coast, followed by a hurricane on the East Coast. And now, just a lot of warm temperatures again. So the good news is it's going to, you know, keep the golf season, with prime time conditions. And it's a good thing because, it looks like we're going to have a lot of golf, Gary, deep into the year. And, you and I have always been taught never to bury the lead. And the lead this week is your story that you wrote on Nikki Stricker. One of three Wisconsin golfers to get through the final qualifier for the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur down in Glenview, Illinois. And Nikki Stricker, we've seen her a lot on the bag of Steve Stricker, her husband on the PGA Tour. We've seen her with daughters Bobby and Izzy, either following along, occasionally caddying. But she teed it up, and she made it through to a USGA event. What a story that was.
It's really cool, Rob. You know, we know that Nikki's been playing a lot of golf with her daughters and with Steve. I mean, it's a golfing family. They play all over the state. And they, you know, when Steve is home for the week off the PGA Tour Champions, they go out and play a lot of golf. So her game was probably sharp, but you never know how sharp it is until you tee it up in a tournament. Because I think it might have been Bobby Jones who said there's golf and there's tournament golf and they're not the same game. And I think that's true. So, it was remarkable to see that 31 years, I think, after she qualified for her one and only previous USGA championship, a US, women's amateur, she gets through and qualifies for the senior amateur. Pretty cool story.
And it was, a round of 77, that got through. And, for someone who is, I guess what, their friend Tiger Woods would call playing giggle golf, we've seen her on a lot of the social media stuff, leading up to the opening of TPC Wisconsin, kind of that family, duel. There've been a number of family duels on Twitter with the PGA Tour champions when they came into town for the AmFam championship. I can't remember what the pairings were, if it was Steve and Nikki against the daughters or if each one took a kid, but, you could tell, I mean, we've known the Strickers long enough. Each one has that competitive look in their eye when it means something. And I'm sure she had that look in her eye this week down in Illinois.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. You know, it was a smaller field, and she shot 77, but the score really doesn't matter. The hard part is just getting through. It's getting one of those spots. And she can forever now say that she's qualified for a second USGA championship. And you're right. You know, it's a very competitive family. Rob, I was thinking at some point we need to put a chart together of all the tournaments that the Stricker / Tiziani family has won over the years, including Mario, Dennis, Larry, everybody in that family. I'll bet it's, you know, counting one day tournaments in the section that Larry and Dennis probably won over the years. I bet that family has won over a hundred golf tournaments, probably easily.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go back to, you know, Steve didn't win a lot, you know, as an amateur. I mean, for a guy who, you know, what we see now dominating the PGA Tour champions, you know, a state amateur here, a Ray Fisher there, but the landscape really started to turn during his era with so many great golfers his age trying to make it on the PGA Tour. JP Hayes got there, Skip Kendall got there, Jerry Kelly got there, but that was just the tip of the iceberg. You're talking about guys like Dave Miley and then eventually Mark Wilson and, you know, dozens of others who were very successful college golfers that went, you know, Billy Heim, who caddied for Rich Beam at the PGA Championship. He went up at Hazeltine, you know, a three-time state champion. A lot of these guys, you know, went to, you know, warm weather spots to play their college golf, didn't quite get to the level that, the four guys who wound up getting the tour from Steve's era did. But, you know, there would have been a lot more opportunities to win. You know, Nikki was late to start in golf, much like Bobby was, or her daughter, and, you know, started winning city championships. You know, I think I went back and looked. She was named, Big Ten or Wisconsin's golfer of the decade for the first 20 years of women's sports in the Big Ten. Every school identified, you know, one person in each sport, and she got it, you know, largely on the fact that at that time she had the highest finish of anybody in a Big Ten championship when she finished third. But, you know, then she took some time off to caddy for Steve after they started dating. And you know, kind of carried the bag on the Canadian tour and took a break there, came back, and as you said, qualified for that one U.S. women's amateur. And then it's been, you know, not long after that, you know, motherhood took over. And we see that with, which is why the senior AM qualifier, the U.S. women's mid-AM qualifier, that, you know, if you're a former competitive golfer and want to get back into it, Nikki Stricker did what anybody has the opportunity to do. The difference is Nikki Stricker prepared herself in such a way that she could come out and shoot the number to go on. But you know what? These USGA qualifiers are for women, you know, age 25 and above, you know, have a wealth of opportunity. And that's, I think, what's so cool about Nikki taking advantage of that.
Yeah. And, you know, she's, although she hasn't played competitively for a long time, she's around the game as we talked about, but she's around the game at its highest levels. You know, she's caddying for Steve when he's playing with Padraig Harrington and Bernhard Langer and years ago, you know, with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and all the best players in the world. So you just being around the game at that level constantly, I would think that just by osmosis and watching how golfers prepare and how they execute shots, I'm sure that she would say that that's helped her over the years.
And I have no doubt that's the case. And I remember back when she took that little hiatus when Steve was just getting on the Canadian tour. I think I wrote about something when she was coming back to play in a state amateur or something that she hadn't played in. And actually she hadn't played competitively in about a year and a half after, you know, her finish at the Big Tens. And she talked about watching Steve in the final round of a Canadian tour event. Playing alongside former U.S. amateur champion Chris Patton, you know, big, what was he, 300 pounds? And
yeah,
he shot a 64 that day to finish off what was essentially, in those days, a weekly shootout on the Canadian tour to win. And she talked about how fascinating it was to watch a guy like that who had had success at the amateur level have to grind out a score of that nature to win, you know, at a, you know, professional feeder tour. And, you're right. I mean, there's a lot to be gained simply by watching. And we've seen, you know, a lot of people, we don't see many people come out to watch the golf we cover, Gary, but those that do are usually doing it to see how, a lot of these golfers handle certain situations. And there's a lot to be learned from watching at any level.
Oh, there definitely is. And you can bet that, you know, Steve has hit shots during their friendly family rounds that Nikki has said, Steve, well, how did you hit that shot? Show me. Yeah. And he's probably showed her how to hit a certain shot, and she practiced that shot, and now she can hit it. So, yeah, I think being a part of that family, and as competitive as they are, as much golf as they play, and being around the game, she hasn't competed much, certainly in recent years, but I think all that goes into the formula to help make her successful this past week.
Well, and it was down at Glenview Golf Park in Glenview, Illinois. Nikki Stricker with a 77 to finish T2. Our good friend Maggie Leaf out of Pewaukee completes the USGA qualifying trifecta, qualifying for the senior women's amateur with a medalist score of 75. She previously qualified for the U.S. Senior Women's Open and also the U.S. Women's Mid-Amateur. So it's going to be a busy fall for Maggie going out to Pennsylvania for the Mid-Am here in a couple weeks' time, and then turning around and heading down here to, Scottsdale and Troon Country Club for the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur. And then a third member of the Wisconsin contingent to qualify was former Indiana University great Sarah DeCray, grew up in Racine, now lives in Madison, and she also qualified. It's going to be fun to be able to it's kind of like when I covered the NCAAs before coming back from my covering the state high school championship in June. I'll be covering the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur for a day or two out here and then coming back for the state girls tournament. I love it when these qualifiers are bringing golfers my way, selfishly, Gary, but I can't wait to see Nikki Stricker back in action. Can't wait to see Maggie Leaf. I mean, she's qualified for dozens of USGA events. And I tell you what, Sarah DeCray has a resume that's, I think, you know, is worthy of the Wisconsin Golf Hall of Fame. I think we're going to, you know, make that push here, in the next year or two. Looking forward to seeing, you know, what, Sarah brings to the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur. And, especially, you know, Nikki, it'll be fun. As you wrote in the story, and many people might have glossed over that, it's the same week as the Ryder Cup over in Italy. And so, no, Steve will not be on the bag. And it'll be right before and right in the middle of Izzy beginning her tournament trail on the WIA front. And so there's going to be a lot on the Stricker calendar here the next couple months. Much to probably Steve's chagrin, because it's going to keep him out of the woods, but it's all for a good cause.
Yeah, just think about that, Rob. Steve Stricker is in Italy with the U.S. Ryder Cup team, trying to win for the first time on foreign soil in 30 years for the U.S. Izzy will be in the middle of, or at least beginning the defense of her WIA Division I state championship, and Nikki will be playing in a USGA championship, all within a few days of each other. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is, and I believe, let me double-check here, I believe Wanakee will be going to the Middleton Regional, so that'll be on the 27th of September, and that is, what, right before, Nikki goes to Arizona, and then if she's successful there, and we assume she will be, I believe, they're then heading to DeForest for the sectional, and that's October 2nd. I believe that's a Monday, and so that would be very that would be interesting to see the juggling act there. At least it's not opposite the state tournament. We assume, although in high school golf, nothing ever given.
Right.
That she and the Warriors will be back there. They're off to a great start this fall, but. That's amazing. And then Steve with his, duties as a vice captain. And, you know, I don't know if there'll be more eyeballs, on this Ryder Cup than there've ever been with all the different, storylines with, live golfers and then of course the U.S. trying to get back and the controversy about Justin Thomas being on the team over some of the guys that, like Keegan Bradley and Lucas Glover, who maybe, showed greater form. And it's amazing how the golf world is intertwined, and amazing how it's intertwined through one family right now.
It is. And Nikki did tell me, Rob, that she would be able to attend the regionals. So apparently she's going to leave for Arizona right after that. She'll miss sectionals, and she'll be back in time for state should Izzy get back to state. So Yeah, busy time for the Stricker family. They're all over, literally all over the world playing golf. Two different spots in the United States and Rome.
All over the world. And really the nice thing from a family perspective, so that the qualifier there, Gary, was on a Thursday, right? The 31st.
And yes.
One day after the heartbreak of Bobby, Stephen, Nikki's daughter, finishing one shot outside the cut line to get to the final round of LPGA Epson Tour qualifying out in Palm Springs, where I was. And that was that story in part because of your story, but in part because of the funny exchange between Steve and Bobby after that, that third round has gotten a lot of eyeballs. For those that missed it, Bobby was cruising along. I followed her on the front nine, and she shot two under, had many other opportunities for birdie. Greens at the Dinah Shore course for this thing, a little bit on the slow side compared to most years, but remember they had a hurricane blow through about a week before that. And so I think there was some reluctance to cut them too low with all the humidity and moisture that was underneath them. And they get to the about four holes from the end. And there's this, and Bobby had started on the back nine, so I think this is hole number six. It's a par four with a little peninsula of a landing area that you can take to kind of cut down the length of your approach shot. She chose to hit driver, as she did twice last year when she played it. And unfortunately, she's been battling a case of the lefts and with the driver. And, of course, she hits it into the water. Takes her drop, hits it onto the green, and then three putts for a double bogey. Goes on to bogey the next hole, does make a 25-footer on the final hole to get to three over. Ultimately, the cut line came at two over and right at 125. It was 125 in ties. Even one bogey by somebody at two over would have brought all the threes and Bobby Stricker into that final round. I left for a little bit to follow other golfers, and then came back to see Bobby as she finished. And Steve comes off the course, Gary, and you would have thought he had just lost the Ryder Cup. He was so upset about that double bogey, and not. I think he was a little bit upset himself for not maybe vocalizing his. He thought that Bobby should have hit a three wood. And as we were talking, he jumped in and started asking questions in the interview. The video is on Wisconsin.golf. It's gotten a lot of views. And, you know, said, you know, at that point in the tournament, Bobby, you know, you're fighting, you know, a driver that's going left and the only trouble is left. Why didn't you hit a three wood? And, you know, Bobby rolls her eyes and goes, we're really going to do this on video. And it was funny because, I was going to give Steve the business. They played with a young woman named Sarah Erickson from a Division II power in Florida, and she's from Sweden, and she started out her career at Florida, transferred to this D2 school, and they had like two or three women in the LPGA Q school, so pretty good for a Division II school. Turns out, after listening to Steve Griller about what the school was all about, they were the top-ranked team in the country at one point this spring, and I was just very impressed at Steve's interviewing skills with her. And, of course, then he pencils in and asks Bobby a question. And never really got to a question, but they did get into a dialogue about, you know, driver versus three wood. And ultimately, Bobby said, I've never hit three wood on that hole, so I don't know where that's going either. And then Steve concludes it by saying, I hit it in the water there, too, in the second round of the Gallery Classic back in March. And so he knows, you know, that it's much easier said than done. But that was a hilarious exchange. I thought it was really cool because it shows yeah, I think there's a certain level of accountability when you're the daughter of Steve and Nikki Stricker.
Yeah, that was cool, Rob. That was a great video, and it's gotten a lot of views. And it's pretty cool that they could have that dialogue, father and daughter, right on camera. And it really wasn't an argument. It was just Steve making a point and Bobby coming back and making her point. But I think they probably both learned from that exchange, I think.
I think they did. But, you know, again, not to date ourselves, but you know, we've been around the family long enough, and what it sounded a lot like was, you know, Dennis Tiziani with Nikki and Mario. And, you know, where and Dennis still does it now, even with Steve occasionally when he's on his radio show and they're asking about, you know, what, you know, this member or that member of the family has done. I mean, he doesn't hold back. I think that's good. I mean, why would you, if you're trying to get where you're going to go, why would you treat anybody, you know, differently than you would treat a pupil of yours trying to get to the PGA Tour? And Lord knows Dennis has had, you know, his fair share of them come through, you know, over the years, starting in most prominently Steve, but, you know, they don't get there by having, listening to people telling them what they want to hear. They get there by listening to people telling them what they need to hear.
That's a good point, Rob. Yeah, Dennis is definitely not a yes guy. I mean, you have to do things his way. His way has proven to be very successful. He tells it like it is. He doesn't sugarcoat anything on any subject, really. And, you know, there are a few people put off by him from time to time, but if you want the honest, unvarnished truth, you go to Dennis Tiziani. And, you know, Steve and Nikki and Mario have certainly heard the unvarnished truth over the years.
Yep. Yes. No question about that. So it was too bad. And what makes it tougher is that, you know, in previous years, just competing at the first stage, assured entrance of some Epson Tour status. Now any Epson Tour status that Bobby has for next year will be based on how well she finishes this year and where she places on the money list. And it'll be probably behind, a lot of the women who have gone through and made the cut at the first stage of Q school and then subsequently, compete in the second stage, which is what her former Badger teammate Emily Lauterbach is going to do. She did get to Thursday and then she wound up finishing. It was top 95 in ties go on to the second stage. She finished T99. Check it. There were 99 women at the qualifying number or better. She finished on the number. She advances. It was, she bogeyed her last hole, played really well throughout the day, had a lot of great opportunities. Again, she's, continues to get better and better at, course management and, in confidence. The putter has been one thing holding her back, but she's really worked hard on that aim point putting. And, it seems to be, getting her more opportunities to make putts that previously she probably would have talked herself out of. And so it was good to see her go on. You've seen her play, Gary. She's got immense potential. Again, a little bit of a late starter to competitive golf, but over the last 8 years between her time at Arrowhead High School and at the University of Wisconsin, has really gotten to be a very consistent golfer.
Yeah, Rob, very gifted, talented, physically strong. I mean, she hits it a long way. She has all the tools to succeed. It's probably putting, course management. It's all those little things that really, when you get to that level, aren't so little. I mean, they're very important to improve on those things if you want to get to the top level. And as hard as she works at it and as talented as she is, I would expect her to continue to improve. Same thing with Bobby. Rob, another latecomer to golf, to competitive golf anyway. Although she's played her whole life. And I wanted to ask you what you think she needs to do to make that jump to the next level to get, to become a consistent top finisher on the Epson Tour and maybe have a chance to move on to the next level. What does she need to get better at?
Believe it or not, Gary, it's confidence late in rounds. And if you followed her, during the summer, she talked about it even after, a couple of her rounds this week, even her first round, she shot 75. She went 75, 73, 71. That 75 was a killer. You know, Emily Lauterbach opened with a 69, and that round included a double bogey. I think, you know, anybody who's trying to make that jump from college golf to professional golf, men or woman, has got to learn how to, you know, minimize the damages and avoid the big number. And she did that fairly well I think she had two doubles, one that we just talked about and one in the first round. And, but, you know, she talked about not being able to finish late in rounds or giving shots back. And I went back and looked, three of her, I think it was eight missed cuts this year were by a shot. And, a lot of that had to do with just simply running out of gas or mentally, you know, not believing that you could, you know, get that birdie that you needed to. We'll talk in a minute about a guy trying to make, the top 60 on PGA Tour Canada from Wisconsin, who basically put on a clinic about what you have to do and how you have to have a short memory. And I think that's the key for Bobby. I like, you know, sure that she can always drive the ball longer. I really like, you know, her short game. I like her iron play. Her putting, which was giving her troubles in the first round and coming into the tournament, which is always, I said, that's a red flag, Bobby. If a Stricker's saying that there's, you know, issues with the putter, you know, that's kind of like, you know, call 911. I mean, you need help here. And, but I think basically it's just a small measure of confidence. And I think she's, going to get there. You know, let's not forget this was her first full year of professional golf after getting through the first stage last year, getting the second stage, really being able to play early in the year on the Epson Tour, made a couple cuts early and then started to struggle with getting over that 36 hole hump. And, if she can now, you know, she has four more opportunities to get into fields. I think a lot of people on the Epson Tour are probably going to act like, Emily and Bobby were talking. Emily's talking about not playing, the final events, even if she were to get in them to prepare for second stage, which I think is, you know, again, this is the, and we've got an item going in sweet spot tomorrow, but a number of questions that people have about this process. And one of the confusing things about the LPGQ school is it falls right in the middle of the Epson Tour schedule. And so there are potentially are golfers that competed last week in Palm Springs that are trending towards not having status next year that had to compete. And, but if they didn't make it through the Q school to second stage, they can still come back and get into the Q series through good finishes on the Epson Tour. And so that's what Bobby, I think, is going to have to do if she can get into any of these last four events before the Tour Championship and see if she can, you know, maybe utilize some of the things she learned, and over this final stretch. Otherwise, it might be, joining Mackenzie Hahn, Tatum Beck, Taylor McCorkle on the, women's APT tour next year. That's the feeder tour into the Epson tour. It might seem like a step back, but you know, Gary, another thing that's a lot easier is to come into a Q school as an unknown underdog, not knowing what the Q school is all about or what's after it is all about, than it is to come back the second year as someone who's done it once and has played quite well in stretches. I think that pressure was really there for Bobby Stricker and Emily Lauterbach, this week. And for that matter, Mackenzie Hahn and Tatum Beck, who had also been to Q school last year. And that's hard to overcome, especially when you're dealing with 120 degree heat and, you know, three different courses in 3 days. Greens that weren't as fast as they normally are, all those things, trying to get through. It's a lot to put on one's plate.
It is. And, you know, to go back to your point about some people thinking it might be a step down if she has to go play on the WAPT, those tours, WAPT and Epson Tour. I mean, it's a very, very fine line between those tours and the LPGA Tour. It's a shot here, a shot there, a dose of confidence here, as you pointed out. Minimizing mistake, turning a double bogey into a bogey. That's all it is. I mean, there are women on the WAPT and the Epson Tour who, you know, you put on the LPGA on the right course and, you know, they're a top 10 player on that course. So yep. It's such a fine line and it's some people might look at it as a demotion if Bobby has to go back there, but I don't look at it that way. I look at it as another step in her growth and development.
And to that point, Mackenzie Hahn and Tatum Beck, who played on the women's APT this year, each of them, the only, out of the five Wisconsin golfers that competed last week, Gary, only one of them, Bobby, made more than one cut in, as many as 10 starts this year on the respective tours. So it wasn't like they lit it up, but they did learn a lot. And that was the key coming into Q school. And what did they learn? Well, Bobby, we mentioned finished one shot out of the top 125 to get to Thursday's round. Mackenzie Hahn, the former Badger, and Tatum Beck, former women's state amateur champion out of Waterford, finished two shots off the number. And that kind of got lost in the coverage, I think, a little bit, simply because of how close Bobby came and the way that she fell on the wrong side of the cut line. But, you know, Mackenzie Hahn had an exceptional second round at, I believe it was Indian Wells, and then came back and shot, actually, no, it was at Dinah Shore, and then came back and shot 74 at Arnold Palmer, and then missed by two. Much like Bobby, had a bogey and a double bogey in succession near the end of her third round, where she would have gotten through. Tatum Beck, to me, was one of the great stories of the of this Q school. You know, again, she went to Weber State out of Waterford. We wondered, would she even have a chance to play at the Division I level? And she not only had a chance, but she played so much that she got so, you know, incrementally better every year. And then when she turned professional last year, we're going, does she have it, what it takes? Well, here's the answer. 74-76, and she's light years from being able to get to the cut line for Thursday's round. She goes out at Indian Wells on Wednesday and shoots 70 and moves up like, 100 spots and finishes two shots out of the, out of the running for Thursday. And we've seen it. She's just a bulldog. She had the lead at the Women's State Open this year for, I believe it was after the second round when Bobby faltered late, Tess Hackworthy, at Blackhawk Country Club and, finished, top two or three there. So again, it really, there's so many things that go into whether you make it or not. And it, heart's a big part of it. And I think Tatum Beck showed that she had a lot of heart bouncing back from two pretty average rounds compared to the field at Q School and then coming up with a 70 to, give herself a shot. So, again, we don't get to see or hear a lot of these gals anymore. The Milwaukee stop on the Epson Tour went away during COVID and hasn't come back. It'd be nice if we could get an event here in the upper, in Wisconsin and maybe see a little bit more of them. But, it sure was fun to watch them last week and grind and, much like when the 3 years I watched Tess Hackworthy and then, Jesse Gary and the crew before then, Jenna Peters, these gals hit a lot of fairways and a lot of greens and, in this thing, and it becomes a putting contest. And, like every level that we talk about, you make the putts, you're going to hoist a trophy or you're going to go on to the next stage of some Q school. And tell you what, if we had the answer for that, Gary, we'd be doing a putting podcast.
Yeah. That's right. Cryptically, I will say, Rob, that I can't say much more than this, but I think there's a chance we'll see the Epson Tour coming to Wisconsin sometime in the near future, which will be great because I really enjoyed covering those tournaments when they were at, Ironwood Golf Course in Sussex, Nagawaki. There might have been another course in there. Maybe one of the courses in Lake Geneva, I think, had an Epson Tour event for a year or two. But,
In Brown Deer Park, too.
Brown Deer Park. Oh, yeah, of course, Brown Deer Park. Yeah, for several years. Where Bobby was very successful. I go back to covering, I think, Lisa Kartheiser.
Wow.
She was from maybe Germantown.
Yes.
She won a Futures Tour event and Grace Park turned pro in Wisconsin and so did, Lorena Ochoa. So on that tour when it was called the Futures Tour. So
right.
We have a long history of great women's golf in our state.
Oh, we sure do. That's funny. That is really, that's dating yourself, but no, that's, I hope you get the chance again to do that, Gary. So
yeah, me too.
For that.
Woofy.
So the Strickers kept the page view tote board, humming, this last week, but, a lot of other stuff going on. We'll start first in the world of college golf where, the other big controversy was the, for lack of a better word, the tumultuous start of Spike Mark as the official live scoring provider to the NCAA. And after years and years and years of partnering with Golfstat for live scoring and rankings and a lot of help with the selection of the NCAA championship fields or the regional fields, I'm not sure why, but the NCAA went with a different company that has no history of scoring live events. And, it's shown this year, this weekend as, every tournament, partnered with Spike Mark, had to find other ways to do it. The Marquette Intercollegiate, which Gary will be at on Tuesday, is being scored by Golf Genius. And, you can see links to that if you, search on the, Marquette Twitter handle. And, I'm sure with some great help by the fine folks at Erin Hills, they were able to dodge the disaster there. I believe Edgewood College, which hosted a tournament down at Glen Aaron Golf Course in Janesville, found a way through, they still have the Golfstat app. Apparently you can still program and score your meet through the Golfstat app. And that creates an output that a lot of the schools have used for many, many years. And I've seen a couple of those. And then I saw a tournament down in Rock Island, Illinois, where it looked as though, they had taken data that they had entered for Spike Mark and converted it to a spreadsheet. I could tell who won the team concept of it all, but the individual had a lot of hieroglyphics to it. But I think at the end of the day, you could see names and school abbreviations enough to know who was doing what. UW-Platteville played there. Gary, it's one thing you do not want to do is get on the wrong side of golf coaches who are dying to coach their kids and not trying to figure out the technology of scoring a tournament, especially those that have spent the last generation being treated to a very solid, consistent live scoring experience through GolfStat and have no idea what it's like to score a college tournament with old-fashioned scorecards.
Rob, was it a money issue with GolfStat, or what was the problem? Because I found GolfStat very functional, very easy to use. Why didn't they stick with it?
It's the million-dollar question, and it really, if you read into the news release they sent out in July, which, again, apparently this was known at the NCAA championships. That's when I first heard about it, and I said, you're kidding me. I mean, WIAA uses GolfStat to score their state championship. The last thing we want to do is have GolfStat go away altogether. It is, and then when a lot of schools a few years ago started partnering with this app called BirdieFire. BirdieFire was a functional version of SpikeMark, not the same company, but the same, from what I could tell in the couple tournaments that actually worked on SpikeMark, we were going to get the same, you know, type of experience or lack thereof that we had with BirdieFire. I rued the day that any tournament, you know, Wisconsin went with BirdieFire for a couple of years and then went back, and it they tried hard, but it just didn't work. And that's what we've got here. And, I don't know. I think part of it was that honestly, you know, I don't know if I remember covering the NCAA Women's Championship in 98, and they introduced this new live scoring app called GolfStat. And it had been in play during the regular season for a little bit, worked. It was fine. It worked for the NCAA championship. It was actually a blessing to be able to know, you know, where, you know, the various team and individual, you know, newsmakers were on the golf course. And, it was the first time I'd ever, you know, had that opportunity. I think that preceded even Blue Golf that we see now, you know, live scoring for WSGA and WPGA events and now Golf Genius. But, I don't know. I mean, the look of the site never changed. I think they were looking to have some more data entered for, you know, rankings purposes, and maybe GolfStat wasn't poised to, you know, to create that. I think one of the things that it said in the release was that it was going to look more modern. Again, you know, I mean, you can dress, you know, Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez up in a tuxedo, but we're still going to feel more comfortable in shorts. And, you know, I mean, it just, one coach told me that, the word on, you know, whatever threads or channels they're talking after all this, you know, the rankings, they were going to do daily rankings. So the rankings would come out on GolfStat once a week from a certain point, into the season on. And now they were going to have them, you know, updated continually throughout the season. That sounds nice, but if you can't get it done, if you can't even get the tournament scored, you know, that's a pretty big problem. And then, you know, before they, basically just, shut down the site now until they figure out what's going on, the presentation was god awful. I mean, it was a very light blue type font, and, you know, you could barely make out, you know, I mean, I don't want to exaggerate. You really, it wasn't as, you know, it was harder to see the names because of the size of the school, the type font and the type of font they were using than it was on GolfStat. And again, you know, so many of us are, you know, when it comes to technology, if it works, don't change it. Why are we doing this? And I think that's been the prevailing thought here. I called it on Twitter, a bumpy start to SpikeMark, and, Brandi Johnson, the women's golf coach at Loyola, said bumpy's being kind. And, so you can only imagine the angst is, you know, you're trying to get your lineup set. You're trying to get hotels booked, you know, vans for those schools that are driving to tournaments. And now you've got to worry about, especially if you're hosting a tournament next weekend, how is that going to work? Am I going to have SpikeMark, or am I going to have to, you know, come up with my own plan B? And Lord knows, Gary, the athletic departments and the sports information staffs at most of these universities are not heavily involved in that part. So it does fall on the golf coach. And it'll be interesting to hear what you find when you go out to Erin Hills on Tuesday, if they're still wringing their hands about the scoring situation.
Yeah, so far it's at least a mini disaster, and selfishly, one of the, from our standpoint, and I'm hearing this from you because I don't post scores. I don't have to worry about that, but you do, Rob, and it's, the format is such that you can't really post the scores to our website, correct?
not without using a blurry screenshot of different segments of it, because it was a scrolling thing. And you only got to see a certain number of schools and individuals on your screen. By comparison with Golfstat, when we started our site, one of the gentlemen at Town News, which is our platform, was able to troubleshoot any wrinkle that we had in getting results from the provider onto our site. And with Golfstat, he suggested that we do an HTML scrape, which is HTML is the code that everybody uses to build their websites. And I was able to, well, I'm not well versed in that, I was able to come up with a way to get it onto our site. And while the links to the names didn't go back like it does on Blue Golf, I was able to highlight the names with a certain HTML code for yellow highlighter. And so we were able to at least identify all the Wisconsin kids playing out of state, you know, when it wasn't obvious, yeah, that, you know, UW Stout or a UW Whitewater or a Wisconsin or a Green Bay or a Marquette was playing. And a lot of people, you know, marveled at the fact that we were able to do that. We were able to do it, Gary, because it was easy. If I'm going to have to put together 18 screenshots of Spike Mark from every tournament, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're not going to see, for example, today when I checked, there was another Golf Genius event being scored up at, Island Resort in, Michigan, I believe it is, a tournament hosted by Central Michigan, and Rachel Coughlin out of Central Michigan and Wauwatosa was off to a 200 start. I mean, I can't follow each, you know, tournament that she and Central Michigan are in if it's going to create an hour's worth of work to post every round of every tournament. And it didn't happen that way with Golfstat, and it, and we'll see. I've reached out to Spike Mark and one of the, I found a name now in this NCAA release that I'm just saying, you know, if you want to promote college golf, you know, I mean, it's scary, Gary, because I at one point Googled LPGA Epson Tour Q School while I was over there. And the stories that we posted were the only ones that came back with that result. And it took a couple of days for the LPGA Tour and the Epson Tour to even post stories on their sites. And I mean, it's just, I don't want to feel like a dinosaur, but boy, there aren't many of us left, are there?
Goodness, Rob, that's crazy. I mean, you know, the LPGA has had some problems with, I'm not sure if it's a manpower, if it's a shortage of you know, staff and people, but they have had trouble with their website and keeping things up to date. And I think, you know, Rose Zhang turning pro and the start she got off to, they were caught, frankly, hate to say it this way, but they were completely caught off guard by that.
Yeah.
And, they weren't prepared for the media storm that was coming with Rose. And, So there's a lot of consternation right now about Spike Mark. And Rob, for your sake, for our sake,
yeah,
and for our readers' sake, hopefully we can get this all figured out in the next week or so.
Well, and I think, you know, we, you know, especially with Steve Bailey and Mike Wilson, Todd Erline, Lee Ranke, and all the great college coaches in the state, they appreciate us, you know, getting their results in, you know, away from all the other ones. I mean, anybody can go to Spike Mark, hopefully in time, but anyone could have gone to Golfstat and found results. They could have gone to their school's website, and most that care deeply did. But those that are just interested in what's happening with golf in our state, you know, we pulled them out from all the other results that didn't have Wisconsin teams or golfers in them. And by putting them on our site, that I thought made the process easier. The coaches appreciated it. Hopefully, you know, even though, again, there aren't many media outlets that, you know, go down so deep that they cover college golf, hopefully that won't keep, you know, Spike Mark and the NCAA from cooperating from those of us who still care. We'll be able to continue to provide that information. But, again, the Marquette Intercollegiate underway. Marquette, late in the, first, round here, currently one shot behind Chattanooga, and, Wisconsin T4, at, plus two. And, as we call up the individual leaderboard, Josh Robinson of Marquette in a three-way tie for first at 3 under par. Spencer Church, who had a quietly good summer out east, 1 under through 11. He's playing, I believe, the number 5 position for the Badgers this week. It was Jacob Beckman, Cameron Huss, Spencer Church, Blake Wisdom, and Coulter Smith, the starting 5 for Wisconsin. And we were wondering who would be the starting 5 for Marquette. It's Josh Robinson, Max Lyons, Boom Sima Ari, Aiden Lafferty, and Ryan Banas, a very decorated junior golfer out of Northern Illinois, who made the fifth spot over Patrick Adler, a returnee, Mason Schmidtke, and others. So again, it's much like the two deeps for football beat writers are the thing of that the they like to look at. We like to look at these starting fives here to start the year and see who's somehow cracked the qualifying code to get into that lineup for week one, don't we?
Yeah, we do. You know, two really good lineups for both of those schools. And, you know, props to Boom Sima Ari, who, you know, when he got to Marquette a few years ago, had a lot of work to do on his game and did it, you know, put in the hard work. And he's the reigning Big East Conference medalist, Rob, and is playing number one for Marquette. And they've had a great, you know, tradition of number one players, you know, with Hunter Eichhorn and Tyler Leach and Boom Sima Ari and others before Hunter even. So, you know, go back to Mike Van Sickle. So yeah, two good lineups for Wisconsin and Marquette. I can't wait to get out there Tuesday and see these guys in action. And hopefully, I don't know what's going to happen with the scoring, but hopefully I'll be able to follow what's going on when I'm out there, Rob.
Yeah, I think it looks as though they've got everything worked out with Golf Genius, and that's
okay.
And Golf Genius also being used, as I mentioned, for the Ashton Invitational up in the Agaming Invitational up in northern Michigan, where the UW Green Bay women are underway. That's also where Rachel Coughlin got off the hot start. One round of 36 on opening day in the books, and Green Bay currently in fourth place after the opening round. Very much a new look lineup for the Phoenix after graduating a bunch of fifth and sixth year seniors last year. Kaylee Kitlowski is leading the way with a 74 in round one. Lexi Mead, the transfer from UW Eau Claire, where she is a former WIAC champion, with a 75. Riley Paczynski, a freshman from Stevens Point, with a 75. And then they counted one of the two 79s from Ellie Frisch and Hannah Dunk to round out the scoring there. And Central Michigan currently in fifth place. And Rachel Coughlin wound up with a 2-over-par 74 after her hot start. And so they are in fifth. I'm guessing that the Green Bay men are up there somewhere. It's become a scavenger hunt for results. So we'll hope to find those at some point and bring those to you. No problem though, Gary, getting the results off of PGA Tour Canada. And, before we started our podcast here on a Sunday, it's the day that everybody's trying to get inside the top 60 for the, Fortinet Cup Championship next week, where only the top 60, qualify. And Harris Sinnott among the early finishers among the Wisconsin crew that made the cut. And Harrison shot a 300 par 67. But, Gary, it took eight birdies, an eagle, and a couple of bogeys and a double bogey in that round. But I'm thinking eight birdies and an eagle in a round of 300 par is very much a reflection of him wanting to make things happen to get inside that top 60. He started the tournament at 62 on the Fortinet Cup standings. And, at one point, after he finished, he was, at 63. He's now at 67. That will continue to change as they play the rest of the back nine. George Kneiser, even par for the day, through nine holes, six under, currently tied for 28th, but the big mover so far, and a guy who could, help keep, Harrison Ott out of the finals next week, Jordan Hahn, the former Badger. 400 par through 13 holes. He opened 71, 69, 66, and this is up at Brainerd, Minnesota. And he has gone from a starting spot of 86 to a projected spot of 61. So he might need a birdie or two coming down the stretch. This is kind of like the FedEx Cup a couple weeks ago to get in the playoffs, and then each week subsequently to move on. There's only one stop on the Canadian Tour playoffs, and that's next week. So. And if you get in the top five, you get status for next year on the Corn Ferry Tour. It would take a win from George Kneiser this week or next, presumably, according to projections, to get in that top five. I think he's the only Wisconsin golfer now who can. Thomas Longbella missed the cut this week, and he is projected to fall from 22 to 26 on the list. He'll play next week, but it probably would take a win there, too, to get inside that top five. So, there was a lot going on up in Minnesota on the Canadian Tour this week, with, Sam Anderson qualifying with that great, 5 under par in the 6-hole playoff after shooting a 5 under par to get into it, to get there. But he shot 77-69 and missed. Tyler Leach, who did qualify on Monday without a playoff, 73-71. Clayton Tribune, 72-76. And then, Grant Shafransky, a Stevens Point native, son of Tom Shafransky over there at the WIA, 78-77. He's a teaching pro in Minnesota. So 8 guys with ties to the state, Gary. I feel that at some point we're going to get someone on that PJ tour, but it's a crawl. And, boy, there's a lot of grinding going on right now over there in Brainerd, Minnesota.
Oh, there sure is. And, you know, some great play by Jordan Robb, you know, starting out in number 86 spot and has to get in top 60, and he shoots 71, 69, 66. He's on another good one today. That's some exceptional golf from a guy whose back is against the wall and has to get it done. George Kneiser and Thomas Longbelly, even though he missed the cut, are safe to get into that top 60. And, it would be so cool to get one of those guys through that top 5 somehow and get him onto the next level. It's going to happen someday, Rob. I don't know if this is the year, but, you know, within the next year or two, we're going to have a guy on the Corn Ferry. I'm pretty confident in that, saying that.
And next on our list, after maybe as soon as after this podcast, I know I've printed out the PDF of this new PGA Tour qualifying school. We've gone from PGA Tour qualifying school to Corn Ferry Tour qualifying school, now back to PGA Tour. There's going to be opportunities to go directly to the PGA Tour if you can successfully navigate 3, maybe 4, if you have to do the pre-qualifying stages of Q school. But, you know, for sure there's going to be Corn Ferry opportunities for these guys, and I know a lot of them are taking part at various Stage 1 sites around the country. That's coming up. It's kind of that season where, you know, but first weekend of college football this weekend, first weekend of the NFL, golf kind of is an afterthought to many people. But for us and for these guys trying to get there, this is prime time, isn't it?
Oh yeah. For these guys on the PGA Tour Canada, and it's the most important time of the year. I mean, you're trying to advance levels. You're going into, you know, Q school, trying to make it to another step or get a step farther in your career. This is the most important time of the year. Everything you've done, you know, this year is hopefully preparing you for these moments, these Q school moments. And like I said, Rob, I'm with this group of players. You know, we see the talent of a Harris Sanat and a George Kneiser and Jordan Hahn, Thomas Longbella, Tyler Leach, and go down the list. I mean, I'm really confident that we're going to see one or more of these guys, you know, playing at higher levels very soon.
And as the college season starts, we would also point out that Pearson Hunt will be starting his senior year at Illinois. And traditionally, Illinois has had 1, 2, sometimes 3 guys in PGA Tour U, which graduates its number 1 golfer right to the PGA Tour. And then I believe number 2 through 5 to the Corn Ferry Tour. And then about 20 golfers to 25 golfers after that get status on PGA Tour Canada, and which will now become PGA Tour Americas as they kind of blend the PGA Tour Latin America with PGA Tour Canada. So there's another component that which is why a lot of guys are staying in school, Gary, to try to see if they can get you know, their status that way. And it's made for a much more exciting college scene, especially in the months of April and May, as teams are fighting to get into the NCAAs. And then, you know, you're showing at the NCAA championship can go a long way to getting to that level. So we've got the October postseason, the September postseason, and then we've got another yet component that kind of goes through the entire college season. And it's just it's fun to see these kids have opportunities to get where they want to go.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. It's going to be fun to watch these next few weeks with the Q school starting up and with Emily going on to stage 2 for the women. A lot of stuff to follow. And the big question is, are we going to be able to see college scores in the coming weeks, Rob?
That's for sure. Well, we'll hope that you see them on Tuesday out at Erin Hills. I know that's part of the stuff coming up this week. We're getting you know, into the meat of the high school girls season. We've got the Wisconsin State Senior Open coming up and a lot of, you know, fall events that typically wind things down. But if it's going to be 90 in Wisconsin, Gary, we're not in a rush to wind things down. You got to get things cooler first so that everybody's comfortable competing. And then we can worry about, the end of the season when the leaves start to turn. So hopefully that's a ways off yet. And, hopefully you have a fun time out there at Erin Hills.
Yeah, Erin Hills on Tuesday for the MU Intercollegiate and then the final round of the State Senior Open at Maple Bluff. Jim Schumann is in the field, so that's good. Yeah, how about that? It's a strong field, a lot of really good players. And then we still have the WPGA Championship, Professional Championship coming up. So lots of golf still to cover, Rob.
Well, that sounds good. We'll talk more about it next week here on Talking.Golf. Gary, enjoy the rest of your Labor Day weekend.
You too, Rob. Thanks.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.